produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Shine on. If you know it, come on. Shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Bishop, sing it. I heard.
I heard the voice.
That's Full Gospel Baptist Church.
Oh,
lay down.
To me.
To me. Come on, Bishop.
And
let me say amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading verse number 11. Start at verse number 11. Excuse me. Matter of fact, let's go to 10 and it will end at verse number 14. So verse 10. Amen. From the New International Version, it reads like this. Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent. Neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said unto him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else." In verse 14, he says, then the Lord's anger burned against Moses and said, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. Just for a little while, I want to use for a subject. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, but you have a brother. Amen. Y'all may be seated in the presence of our God. But you have a brother. Look at the book of Exodus, as I told you all. That I've said this on numerous occasions, but I wanted to sink in. That we understand the book of Exodus is just what its name signifies. That there is an exit. My brothers and my sisters, that's good news. Because it tells us, it's interesting that Exodus is the second book of the Bible. Genesis is the first. So not soon as God has blessed them, they get caught up in something and God has to bring them out. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, that ought to be some good news for somebody in here. Because it lets you know that here it is that no matter what you get in, God will bring you out. And the thing is, he won't let you stay in, but God has a way of coming to see about you, not when you want him to come, but he has a way of coming right on time. And if we be honest in here, there are some people who are in here today that can say, God just didn't bring you out one time. You haven't just had one Exodus. But if you be honest and you keep it a buck with me in here today, you can say that God has brought me out over and over again. What do you mean, Reverend? Because every time you step in something, God has to bring you out. And the only reason why you in here today is because you know that God has the ability to do it. Somebody came in here today already in something. Well, I got some good news for you, that God will bring you out. I ought to have some witnesses in the building who are alive today to say, all the stuff that I've gotten myself into, God has created many exoduses for me. That he's created back doors, front doors, open up windows, kicked over a wall. Am I talking to myself? That God has created exits in the roof. He's taken some roof off some places. What do you mean? That there are some things and some places you've been in life that nobody didn't think you were ever going to get out. There were some situations that you were caught up in that nobody thought that they could, how they could figure to get you out. But God, in his unmerited favor, in his love for you, he found a way to get you out and kept you out. Somebody just tell God, thank you. I thank God for the exoduses in my life. I thank God for the ways that he's brought me out. And I'm now living here today with a testimony to say that he keeps on doing great things for me. Now, all right, here we go. So we're in Exodus, and we understand the story of the Exodus. If you've ever been in church, you know the story. You've been in Sunday school, you know the story. So what happens in this fourth chapter? That God has heard the cries of his people. That is a major verse for us because it lives with us to know that God hears our cries. And my brothers and my sisters, that's the reason why our church has been living and been doing what it's been doing for 120 years is because the Lord has continually heard our cries. The Lord heard our cries. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, back in 1968 when we were crying for the sanitation strike and the sanitation workers, when one of our members, Brother Ernest Withers, who is the famous photographer for the Civil Rights Movement, he was there taking pictures of the movement. He was there. He went up to Chicago and took pictures of the body of Emmett Till. He was there in 1960 and 61 during the time when they had the Montgomery bus boycott movement in 55. And then he was there in 60 and 61 with the freedom rise and the sit-ins. And don't you know that God has always heard our cries? And it ought to be somebody in here who can thank God that the Lord hears you when you cry. We as a people standing here today because God heard our cries. Here it is. I love this. Because Moses is on the run. Moses is a fugitive. You know what happened to Moses? Moses was there and he kills an Egyptian, buries him in the sand, takes off running. And the thing that I love that Moses does, it just shows you the kind of God we serve, right? Moses run, gets himself to Midian, hides out in Midian, and while he's in Midian, he marries a sister. Hello. She's been kissed by some. All right. Marries a beautiful Midian sister, has some children. And the Bible tells us that he becomes a shepherd. And what's so interesting is that Moses would eventually lead people just like he's leading sheep. Okay, this really blessed me in my study time, right? He's running from his past, but God is pushing him to his destiny. Okay, can I show it to you? He's running from where he was, but the whole time, God is developing him into what he is going to become. Okay, let me see if I show you that again. So, literally, God says, I know you're on the run, and I know what you have done, but my hand is still on you, and because my hand is still on you, because you've got a call on your life, I'm going to use your running from your past to develop you to what I need you to become. And what are you trying to say, Reverend? Is that, isn't it amazing how you can be able to look at your past and to be able to say that God was just using your past as developing you for where he's going to take you? What do you mean, Reverend? Is that, here it is, my brothers and sisters, all of us have a past. All of us have been through some things. All of us have a story. All of us have gone through and experienced some things. But here it is, I want you to not look back at your past as being something that is terrible, as being tumultuous, but look at it as that God was just trying to develop you for where he's going to take you. That all the doubters, all the haters, all the naysayers, everybody talking about you, it was just helping build you up for where God was going to take you. That all the time that you were struggling, all the time that you were broke, all the time that you didn't know where the next meal was going to come from, but now here it is, God has blessed you, that you moved off a full step, and now you able to go in there and pay for the money, pay for the food by yourself. Is that God said, I want you to remember where I brought you from, because where I'm taking you, you don't know where I'm taking you. He's using your past to develop you into who you will become. That's the reason I tell people, don't despise small beginnings. Don't look at your past as being shameful. It got you to where you are. It makes you a survivor. It makes you a fighter. It makes you a hustler. It made you who you are. It gave you the tenacity. It gave you the fearlessness. It gave you the bravery that when you come and meet challenges, you can say, oh, that ain't nothing. That ain't nothing to what I've already overcome. That ain't nothing to what I've already seen. That ain't nothing to what I've already been through. Is there anybody in here that can thank God that here it is, you would have had some sicknesses when you were a child. You experienced some pain early on in your marriages, but now you can look back and say, I thank God for the challenges. I thank God for the pain. I thank God for the rain, because where I am now, I wouldn't be here if it had not been for that. So, here it is. It says, Moses says, I'm running from my past, but God is getting me to my destiny. And he calls him, y'all know the story, burning bush. Calls him, tells him, look here, Moses, something changed in your life. The atmosphere has changed. You need to take off your shoes, because the place you stand in is holy ground. And I need you to kick off the shoes that you got on, because the shoes you got on, they trudge through the mud. They've been through some stuff. You know, when you shepherding sheep, you gotta sleep with the sheep, you gotta eat with the sheep, and where the sheep, hello somebody, where they use the bathroom, hello, I'm just talking to y'all in here. I need you to understand that this place that you're in now, Moses, is different. That I have shifted something in your life, and now I'm about to do something major in your life. I'm about to take you and my people and free y'all. And I'm going to use you to do it. Thing I learned about Moses is, Moses is no different than all of us. When we've got something to do, we make up every excuse why we can't do it. Hello, somebody. We make every excuse why we can't do it. We make every excuse why I can't do it. Why I'm not capable of doing it. Why it can't be somebody else. Well, here it is. God brought it to you for a reason. God put you in charge for a reason. That God saw something in you. And here it is. The reason why you make excuses is because you just don't want to do it. And you don't have the confidence that you can do it. But I came to let somebody know in here today that you can do it. Why? Because the Bible tells us there in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who? So what's your excuse? So, says Moses comes up with every excuse. And God says, look here, man. That's what I need you to do. Go back and tell my people, come into freedom. And they said, well, I need you to give me a name. He said, well, just tell them I am sent. Right? Great I am, right? Just I am that I am. I am, which means I can be whatever I need to be. Like, he doesn't tell them call me Yeshua. Just said I am. Just tell them I am sent you. That whatever you need, I am. If you need help, I am. If you need deliverance, I am. Whatever you need, I am. Now, here's the thing. For me, that probably would have been enough. But for Moses, he needs some more. He says, okay. Well, Lord, the people, they don't need to know who you are. They don't need to see some work. He says, okay, watch this. Take that rod that you got in your hand.
Okay.
Toss it on the ground. Turns into a serpent. Moses is scared. He's like, oh, pick it up by his tail. Became a rod again. One. Two. Take your hand, put it into your sleeve, put it into your side, and then reach out. And when he reached in and he reached out, it was leprous, and he put it back in, and it became just about another hand again. His hand became clean and nice and back. And he said, well, that's not enough for you, okay? I'll tell you what. Watch this. If they don't believe those two, I'm going to turn the river and make it bloody. Now, okay, I had to do my research on this, right? I had to figure some stuff out. So I'm like, okay, these three things, they just don't happen haphazardly, right? But then I learned that those three things, that turning a rod into a snake, and then turning and making your hand leprous, and then also turning the river red, that was a sign at the Egyptian Empire. What do you mean, Reverend? When the Pharaoh carried a staff, he had the head of a snake. Two, whenever someone would catch leprosy, that was a sign of someone who is not the most humble of person. That is someone who is very prideful, who thinks that they can make it on their own. And who is Pharaoh but the most prideful person and most egotistical person that is on the earth at the time. And then finally, he says, I'm going to turn the river red. Which means, watch this, is that the Egyptians depended upon the Nile for their economy. That they could not do anything without the Nile. The Nile was able to help feed and to be able to take care of the crops. The Nile was able to give water to the animals. The Nile was one that produced the soil and made sure that the soil was nice and fertile so that you can feed the nation. So this was a direct shot at the empire.
Yes, sir.
Now, what's significant about that? Is that what God was trying to show Moses and tell Moses is that I want you to tell them, watch this, is that I'm over them.
Yes.
What he's trying to say is I'm ultimately in control.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Y'all looking at me and say, well, Reverend, how does that work for us? I'm glad you asked. Because guess what? We live in an empire too. And sometimes our empire has to be checked. And God has to sometimes check our empire because our empire sometimes does not care about the least, the lost, or the left out. They don't care about those who are brown, black, or yellow, or any other skin outside of the fair skin. Hello, somebody. I'm just keeping it real in here because this is America we're talking about. That here it is, my brothers and my sisters, that sometimes, even in our lives, we've got to recognize and thank God that we serve a God who sits high over the empire. That when the empire says something, God has a way of stepping in. God has a way of changing, shifting it, and reminding the empire that there is a God who sits above you. There is a God who will step. says, I'm over the empire. And here we move into this. Moses says, watch this. The Lord, I can't speak that well. I got a list. I got a stutter. I got a stuttering problem. Got a problem with how I talk. Doesn't come off clear. And the Lord had to tell him, did I not make mouths? Am I not in charge of mouths? Did I not create the deaf and the mute? And this point really blessed me. I'm almost through, I promise you. This point really blessed me. Lord wanted me to be able to see this thing differently, in that the Lord is about to take a stuttering fugitive and free his people. What do you mean, Reverend? Is that don't think that because you don't feel like you look the best, because you don't read the best, because you don't talk the best, because you may have some issues going on with learning disabilities, because you may be blind, crippled, and sometimes crazy. Don't think that it's not going to be used for God's benefit. Is that, my brothers and my sisters, you got to realize that sometimes what we lack is an opportunity for God's glory to shine through. What do you mean, Reverend? Is that what you don't have, God has a way of making up what you do not have and bringing glory to his name. God has a way of being able to take whatever you are deficient at, whatever you can't do, God has a way of shoring it up and turning it into something glorious. Am I talking to anybody in here that's ever had to have some issue that you didn't have it all together? You probably couldn't read the best. You probably couldn't talk the best. Here it is. You probably weren't the best in school. That is, matter of fact, you didn't make straight A's. You graduated not cum laude, not summa cum laude, but somebody here graduated, thank you, Lordy. And look at you now, that the same people talked about you and didn't know what you were going to be, talked about you, said and made sense. Now if those are the same people that's coming to you asking you for a job. Now those people, you look at them on Facebook, they broke, busted, and disgusted, trying to figure it out, but God has already worked it out, because he turned your deficiency and used it for his glory. Whatever you don't have, God has it. Whatever you can't do, put it in his hands. I ought to have some people in here who can say that I put my life in his hands. I trusted him, and look what he's done with my life. Look how he's used my life to bless other people. Look how he's used my life and taken me. Look here, am I talking to somebody who comes from not the right side of the tracks, but you come from a shotgun house. You come from the projects, and look at you now. Now you're managing millions of dollars. Now you create opportunities for other people. Somebody just tell God, thank you, that whatever you thought I couldn't do, look at me now. Look what God can do. Am I talking to anybody in here that can say, I'm a living witness that if your God will take your life into amazing places. So, I'm God. Man, I can speak through you. You don't need great speech. Just give me a mouth. Oh, just give me some hands. Just give me a mind. Just give me some feet and watch what I do. Then I'm going to take this nation and take this stuttering murderer and free a nation. Here it is. Says, Moses says, okay. I hear you. We can almost go on. But then he says, just send somebody else. And the Bible says God got angry. Now, he's not angry because he's not angry at Moses just to be angry. But God's anger at Moses is because his lack of accepting of responsibility. There's a message for some folks here. Is that we gotta learn how to walk in responsibility. You got to take responsibility for your children. Don't turn out the way you want to. God gave them to you first. Hello, somebody. God didn't give them to the teachers.
Amen.
He gave them to them. Hello, somebody.
Tell the truth, Pastor.
If little dirt bike like to fight, it's because you didn't address little dirt bike's anger issues when he was little. You thought it was cute. You, oh, he gonna grow out of. Let him be. He going around punching you and kicking you. And you ain't saying nothing. What you think he gonna do at school? I'm sorry, I grew up different, y'all. I grew up different. I don't know what these Gen Z parents are doing. I love y'all. And some of my millennial parents, I love y'all, I do, but I want you to understand that when we get to heaven, God is not going to ask Miss Smith, who taught him first grade, why did little Johnny not do right. God gonna look at you. He gonna say, I gave you the responsibility of being his mother, not to be his friend, not to be his pal, not to be his bruh, not to be his soon, not to be none of that. I gave you the responsibility of being his parent. I understand you were young and you made a dumb decision, but that does not disqualify you from the responsibility that is before you, because you were responsible enough to do what you did. Now you got to be responsible to deal with the consequences. Hello, son. See, we don't like that kind of preaching. Because we want to be cool with everybody. I don't want to upset folks. Guess what? Guess what? I'm going to have to answer to God if I don't say it. So, I'm angry because you don't accept responsibility. He says, you know what? I'm sick of you. I got a solution for you. Don't you have a brother? A brother. This is fraternity and sorority Sunday, right? What you can't do, you got a brother. You got kinfolk. You got somebody. Now watch this. Brother Mark, you said something. Your brother is on the way. Now, okay, all right. Okay, I got to ask a question. I had to ask the Lord this question because it really bothered me. I read through this three times over, and I went and I was like, wait a minute. This is Moses' call.
Right.
When did he call Aaron?
Forget you. Come on.
But I realized something. And I realized something when I joined my fraternity. Is that the Lord has a way of what you think he's doing for you and working out for you. He's working out for somebody else, so that whatever you need and whatever you're lacking, God is already calling somebody else to come and help you. He's already getting somebody else to for you. He's establishing somebody. What do you mean, Reverend? Is that as he was calling Moses, he already called Aaron and told Aaron, you need to go see about your brother. I'm going to tell you where he is. He didn't send you a postcard. He didn't give you a text. He didn't send a picture. But guess what? I know where he is. Get to him. And at the same time he didn't call him, now he's calling Moses and saying, guess what, brother? You ain't got to worry about it. I already talked to your brother. He's on the way. God has a way of just meeting your needs right with you. Am I talking to myself in here? Somebody know that God has a way of giving you what you need right when you need it. And already called Emory. He's on his way. Fine. Now get out of here. We go home. Y'all go to your Super Bowl pod. Go to your brunches. So my brothers, I don't hold on. Here we go. He says, I got your brother. And he can do what you can't do. And isn't it amazing how the Lord turned an individual thing, and now it's a family affair. Oh, the Lord turned him from one man to now you got a cable tow.
Yes, sir.
Now you got somebody who you can link up to. You got somebody. Because the Bible says that I want you to talk to him, and then he'll talk to the people. And now Moses got somebody he can talk to. He's got somebody he can confide in. He's got somebody that'll understand what he's going through. And don't you know that I watched my daddy go through it this week. And I watched him going through it last week. And I watched him go down, and I watched him start to slumber. And I watched him to be in tears. And I couldn't understand for the life of me that my daddy, if y'all know Charles Ewan Sr., he's all man all the time. When I was a kid, I probably saw my daddy cry 3 times. Because he's from the old school. Men don't let other men see him cry. But then I saw my daddy. And then I went into the kitchen. And I said, "Daddy, are you going to be okay?" He said, "Son, you don't understand. That was my brother. That was my right-hand man. That was my confidant. That was the one who held all my secrets. He's the one that I could trust." And don't you know that helped me understand this passage? That when God says your brother, no, he didn't say your, not your kinfolk. He didn't say your family. But the Lord said your brother, which means y'all come from the same place. Y'all got the same soul. Y'all got the same blood. You got somebody. When you got a brother, you got a friend to the end. Am I talking to myself in here? Wait a minute, y'all think I'm talking about fraternities. Because guess what? Moses had a sister. And guess what the sister did? That the sister, when Moses was a baby, she was the lookout that watched him go down the river. She was the one who told the queen, "I got a lady that can nurse that baby." And she went and got a mama. Because brothers are important, but sisterhood is just as important. You need somebody that'll look out for you. Somebody that'll watch over you, that sees danger up ahead. I told you it's a family affair. Because it's not just his brother, not just his sister, but he's got a mama that put him in a basket, sent him down the Nile, put him down the river. Didn't know what was going to happen, but she put her baby in the hands of the Lord. And for all you mothers in here, that's what you got to do. When they don't want to act right, when they don't want to straighten up, put them in the hands of the Lord. Won't he fix it? Won't he keep them? Am I talking to anybody in here that's making it not on your prayers, but somebody know that mama, she prayed for you. Grandmama, she put you on the altar. Great grandmama covered you in prayer. And the only reason why you're in here is because somebody prayed for you. Good night now, y'all. I'm out of here. Is that not only do you have a brother, not only do you have a sister, not only do you have a mama, but can I tell you what else you got? You got a big brother. Oh, y'all missed it. I said you got a big brother who will be your friend until the end. You got a big brother who will take care of you. You got a big brother. He can do some great stuff. Anybody in here ever had a brother? Had a big brother? Didn't you brag on your big brother? Big brother can talk
Jesus, didn't he die just for you? I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. Big brother never failed me yet. He'll come and get me out of trouble. He'll heal my brokenness. Won't he do it? If you're not too mean, won't you stand on your feet? If you're glad, you got a big brother that'll take care of you. Big brother, he'll watch over you. Say yeah, yeah, yeah. What's Big Brother's name? What's his name? Put some respect on it. What's his name?
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.